Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Sing it, Marvin. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We appreciate you. Thanks so much for being here with us. We're going to have some entertainment news for you in a little bit. Get into some trends that we didn't even need to get into. They got that coming up.
They really weren't even trends, yeah.
But it is a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. We know what that means. Tell me something
good. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Kitchen's Open on WFHR for this Monday, January 6th. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy Epiphany!
No. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. All the friends.
This is actually our first episode of 2025. And since we just celebrated a calendar page turn, I thought it might be interesting to look at some traditional meals for New Year's Day.
All right.
Beth, did you just cover traditional holiday meals a few weeks ago?
I understand the confusion, but this is a just a little bit different.
I think I know where you're going with this. Mm-hmm. Some cultures associate certain meanings with the type of food you eat, and it can signify prosperity or challenge.
Correct. For instance, my Penn Dutch heritage says that you should always have pork and sauerkraut on New Year's Day to ensure good luck and fortune in the year to come.
We sure did.
And it was good. Nice. Well, some of us had sauerkraut anyway.
Yeah, the pork was fine.
The Visit Pennsylvania website, visitpa.com, shares, according to a number of food historians, the tradition can be traced back hundreds of years to Germany, and well before the first Germans arrived in the then New World in the 1600s. So why pork? Along with being readily available, as many families raised pigs, by nature, pigs are always looking for food and constantly moving forward in their search for food, symbolizing moving forward into the new year. To bring good luck, or wie Glück in German, pork is the go-to food. Hmm. Sauerkraut is similarly, my mouth will work eventually. Similarly, I could do the German, but I can't say similarly. Anyway, associated with prosperity and good fortune. Harvested in late fall and soon after crafted into sauerkraut to produce a nutritious vegetable dish to be enjoyed in the winter months ahead. Cabbage, the main ingredient in sauerkraut, is round in shape, similar to coins, and green, a sign of wealth. Consuming sauerkraut would therefore bring prosperity and or good fortune in the new year. And hence, the tradition began and lives on in families of Germanic and other Eastern European descent. No worries if your cultural heritage lies elsewhere. This is just one of many traditional ways to do that.
Mm-hmm. Forbes.com published an article entitled New Year's Superstitious Foods That Promise Good Luck and Prosperity by Stephanie Galavalsi. In it, she shares this about my heritage. In Italy, lenticchie and cornicello or cortino is a staple of New York's day. Their round shape, reminiscent of coins, has made lentils a symbol of wealth and good fortune. Brazil shares this tradition with lentils, often featured in celebrity dishes. Lentils are humble but powerful. Eating them on New Year's Day carries the hope that small efforts will grow into something bigger. Financial abundance, personal growth, or simply a fulfilling year ahead.
The article also shares about another tradition in Southern Europe, Spain, to be exact. It shares, eating 12 grapes at midnight is a ritual that began in Spain in the late 19th century. The practice, tied to a particularly bountiful grape harvest, soon became a New Year's Eve tradition that spread across Latin America. Each grape represents one month of the year, and the hope is that they can bring sweetness and prosperity. Even if you miss the countdown, eating leftover grapes on New Year's Day can still set the tone for a sweet start. The practice ties celebration to a deeply rooted superstition. Sweet grapes predict good fortune, while sour ones warn of challenges.
Chowhound.com. Isn't that a great name?
Oh, it's a great, name. I love that.
So Chowhound.com, in an article written by Hillary Whelan Remily, one New Year's meal that's particularly popular among Irish Americans or Americans who are Irish in spirit, and that's corned beef and cabbage.
Mm.
The meal, which is often associated with St. Patrick's Day, is meant to bring good fortune into the new year. Folks opt for corned beef or pork for the meal, as chicken and fowl supposedly bring bad luck because they dig into the dirt for food. If you eat these birds on New Year's, it is said you'll have to dig around searching for food in the new year too. As for the cabbage, well, cabbage is green like money and therefore will attract wealth in the upcoming year. Or at least that is the stated reasoning behind the supposedly traditional Irish holiday meal.
It's funny. I just heard a podcast about New Year's superstitions and stuff. And they talked about this one. It's also because roosters and chickens, when they scratch, they go backwards. They don't go forwards, which is why the pig is good luck and the chicken is bad luck, because they're always going backwards. So, but anyway, going back to the article at Forbes.com, in the American South, New Year's Day wouldn't feel right without black-eyed peas, often served with rice in Hoppin' John, which is such a great name.
That's so good.
I love that. The tradition traces back to West Africa, where black-eyed peas were cultivated and later brought to the U.S. through the transatlantic slave trade. After the Civil War, the dish became a symbol of resilience and prosperity. Black-eyed peas symbolize new beginnings. There's even a superstition that eating them ensures good luck for every day of the year ahead. Pair them with collard greens, representing money, and cornbread for gold. Wow. And you've got a full plate of hope.
Let's not forget our neighbors to the north, eh? In an article from NationalGeographic.com by Lee Worthington, quote, what do you get when you combine eggnog and an ice cream float and a ton of alcohol?
A sick stomach.
Yeah, no kidding.
Moose milk, of course.
Of course.
The festive Canadian cocktail, known for being deliciously smooth and dangerously boozy, is a favorite holiday liberation or libation within the military milieu. According to Michael Bouillard, a retired Army officer and history professor at the Royal Military Academy of Canada, the drink is typically made from a deadly combination of milk, buttermilk, spices, rum, and ice cream.
Whoa.
As Bouillard says, the libation can lead to uproarious, wonderful parties or some bad scenes.
Probably both at the same time.
I gotta admit, that's my kind of party. That's my kind of. Moose milk has been a mainstay at military social events, including levees, official New York New Year's Day receptions, bringing together government and military officials with members of the public.
Huh.
Though that seems like the worst place to be
exactly.
having this.
Whoa.
Okay, Canada.
Well, what is Canada doing?
I guess it is Canada. When's the last World War they got involved in? You know what I mean? That's it. Maybe they can afford to drink moose milk.
Yeah, I don't know.
Moose milk dates back to before the First World War, according to Bouillard.
Oh, wow.
Isn't it ironic that that comes from the military? Yeah. I'm a little frightened that this is what the military are doing.
That is a bored military.
It is.
Canada.
That's a bored military.
That's all we got to do, man.
Canadian and Swiss military, all they have to do is just pranking each other. They're just like calling up and pranking each other all the time.
The longest Cold War ever. Yeah. Between Switzerland and Canada.
I love about traditions like these is not only remembering the history of them, and that I think is important for our ancestors, whether they are our personal ancestors or not, just ancestors in general, whether it's your culture or anything like that. But I think one of the coolest parts of this is the stuff that we can see, we pulled from that. And that's where we got that from. And so much of this really came out of this article, or this episode that you created here. Things that I thought I knew and I didn't know, or things that I thought were really interesting, and I'm like, I never heard about that.
Yeah.
And it got me down a rabbit hole of, this started here.
Yeah.
And that's where that came from.
That's really,
really
cool.
Interesting.
It's fascinating. And what I love about doing something like this on New Year's Day is New Year's is a time to look back. You know, see where you came from, see what you've learned, as well as looking forward to, what's to come. And this kind of blends both of them by honoring your tradition, but letting it move you into a new phase and into a new year. So Stephanie finishes her Forbes article with a great explanation as to why we connect foods with symbols. She writes, New Year's Day isn't just about eating well. It's about sharing starting with purpose. Across cultures, food rituals carry powerful symbolism, from wealth and progress to health and happiness. Psychologists say these traditions help us feel more in control of an uncertain future. Mm-hmm. As the Oxford Research Encyclopedia of Food Studies explains, the act of eating during celebrations is often more than sustenance. It's a way of creating shared meaning and signaling traditions in the calendar and in life. By eating foods that represent luck or prosperity, we create a sense of optimism. In some cultures, things not to do on New Year's Day, like cleaning or eating quote-unquote unlucky foods, reinforce the idea that our actions, even small ones, shape the year ahead. These traditions also connect us to family and community, whether it's the comforting warmth of lentils or the ritualistic precision of long noodles. These dishes carry generations of meaning. Mm-hmm. They remind us of where we've been and where we want to go. From the sweet promise of 12 grapes to the hearty richness of black-eyed peas, the New Year's superstitions and the foods we eat on New Year's Day reflect the universal desire for a better year ahead. There are more than meals. They're tokens of hope. Mm-hmm. So you might have heard in that last little bit some traditions we didn't mention. Mm-hmm. There are several articles, and we can add them to the description for this mm-hmm. hour, of where you can go to learn a little bit more. And if you go to allrecipes.com and type in traditional New Year's food, mm-hmm. they will bring up several of them and give you recipes for how to make them if you're
cool.
interested.
Cool. Very cool. Yeah.
Right. So we're hopeful here that we will have a business that can promote, we can promote as a sponsor during this segment as we begin this new year.
Very hopeful. Calling mm-hmm. all businesses, all smart marketing people out there.
Yeah, that's right.
If you are interested in more information about how to be a part of the team and make this happen, just give us a call, 715-424-1300. Speak with Pam. Pam will put you in touch with Ashley, and we'll get you on the air, and we will brag about your mm-hmm. business and rave about you.
Constantly. That number again, 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
All right. Very good.
Oh, great.
Way to kick off the year.
That's a great one. That's a really fun one, Beth.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I do want to remind everybody to be sure to check out our WFHR newsletter as well. Mm-hmm. Got a new edition for you every week. And in there, Beth has got a bit of the kitchens mm-hmm. open for you.
Yeah.
You can check out nice work on that, by
Thank
the way,
you.
Beth. It's very good. And some other stuff that you've been doing over
yep.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And I did want to also mention, Beth, save that voice because we're going to need it this week.
That's right.
We will see you in the morning, Beth.
Sounds good.
Thank you again. For another one. And again, all you businesses out there, one of the smarter things you can do is being a part of things here at WFHR. And you hear the way we talk about businesses. Reach mm-hmm. out to our front desk, be a part of the team, sponsor this segment. We'll have another Kitchens Open for you next week right here in the time slot. Seth and I will be back with more show.
Tell me something good.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, and we gotta, you know, get a bumper for this.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, I was. I had a couple of songs in my head, but they all felt like lame right away. I'm going to be honest.
All right.
So we're going to have to come up with something better than
okay.
that. But every month, in the beginning of the month, we are joined by our good friend, Tom, and we get into our monthly veterans update. Tom, I want to thank you very much for being here today, man.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
The car started and windshield was clean.
That's always a plus. Always a plus.
Boy, is that a great way to start the week. That is a good way to start the week. And it's a great way to start it with you, man. Thanks so much for being here. We always appreciate the time and effort you put in, not only into getting all these details together, but certainly the other things that you and our VFW do. We say a good morning to all of our good friends over there.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, we kick things off reminding everybody that January and February, we've got some things we won't be having with our VFW and that.
Exactly. There's no Vietnam Veterans of America meetings in January or February.
Okay.
And if you're used to going to the Heroes Cafe on the second and fourth Wednesday, not until March. So if you're going to wait for everybody to be there,
yeah,
get the car running, get some gas beforehand.
Just be ready. Yeah.
Run some errands. kill some time while you're at it.
Exactly.
Do want to send a big shout out to everybody that makes those meetings in those Heroes Cafes amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the guests and the volunteers, or are the guests or the volunteers, and everybody that works on that stuff, and really do appreciate the work. You deserve the time. Take some time off, relax, enjoy. And we're looking forward to seeing you in March.
Exactly. And what's interesting is about the Heroes Cafe and most of the veterans organizations, we don't refight the war.
Mm-hmm.
We go there. It's for fellowship.
Right.
Camaraderie and occasionally some truth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of, you know, stretch of the truth there, but that's another show. Yeah.
No, but that's a really good point. Cool way to put that, I think. Yeah, thank you for that, Tom.
No problem. Today they have the monthly breakfast over at Grace's. It started at 9 o'clock, and that's the first Monday of every single month. Mm-hmm. And then Wednesday, January 8th, American Legion Post has their monthly meeting. And then on the 9th, Rudolph American Legion has their monthly meeting out at their post. And then on Thursday, the VFW has their meeting, January 16th. So we're still meeting. Last month, I know the VFW meeting, we didn't have enough people because of the weatherman.
Mm.
Give us a little bit of extra snow and we can get there.
Yeah.
And then, okay, now we're going to see how fast time flies.
Yeah.
January 16th, Desert Storm began in 1991.
Wow.
That blew me away when I read that. I read it twice. Oh, it really took me off guard. Yeah. That's something.
Like 8 or 9 years ago is all?
Right. 100%. Like, oh, yeah, that happened about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Like, wait a minute. No, that was the 90s. Yeah.
And then on January 27th, the Vietnam War had a ceasefire in 1973. On Friday, January 31st, Panama campaign ended in 1990.
Mm. Mm. Okay. Yep.
Once again, we're...
It's wild when you think about how the dates of these things and how some of them were in recent history.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And on Saturday, February 1st, National Freedom Day, and Saturday, February 2nd, Army Nurse Corps established in 1901.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And on Monday, February 3rd, the USO was incorporated.
Oh,
they've
done
a lot of shows.
A
lot of, you know.
Yeah.
War.
Oh, the work that's done by our USOs. My papa was one of the first people to tell me about how meaningful and how important that stuff is. It's part of the reason why when you hear me talk about Bob Hope, the way I talk about him, the way I do, that's the greatest MC any of us will ever see, and in part because of a lot of that USO work. I don't mean just that he did that, but the work that he learned and how he grew as an entertainer through that work.
That's correct.
Some of his best feedback came from soldiers. Like, right. Bob would be the first to tell you that.
He loved it. He loved it.
He grew as an entertainer through that just as much as he enjoyed doing it and everything.
Well, I did have the opportunity. I did see one of his shows.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes.
Whoa.
Wow.
You've been burying the lead on me, man. Oh, we're talking after the show. We're talking after. That's awesome.
And it was so interesting is he brought those starlets over there.
Right.
And over the years, they start showing up. National news, national media.
That's true.
One of the ladies that we saw actually did the Olympics, the lady that always wore the sweaters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, so,
how about that?
Yeah, it's something. Yeah.
You know, so you look back at that. And then once again on February 3rd, the monthly vet breakfast at Grace's. So there's not a lot going on. However, in the background, we're already planning our brat fries.
Okay. All right. Which is part of the reason why I think it's important to have that a bit of a time off there so you guys can plan those things out. We are talking about a nonprofit here. We are, you know, talking, right. There's not a, we, and I bring that up for twofold. One, to remind everybody how there is no such thing as a retired soldier. That our soldiers just continue to put into their communities, continue to put into our lives, continue to do great work. And they shouldn't be doing it alone. All volunteers out there, people out there that can help out, especially if you have a family member or somebody like that, but even if you don't, could always use extra hands when it comes to when Heroes Cafe comes back around or any of these events. And certainly all of us can be a part of these things when we do see a brat fry going on or something like that. Get yourself a brat and put back into your community at the same time.
Yeah, we'll do the cooking. You do the eating.
Right on.
There you go.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. Perfect.
Tom, I greatly appreciate you joining us. Thank you so much for the list and the great reminder, as always. We appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you. If anybody has any questions, they can just give the VFW a call, and it's answered 715-600-0401.
And I have to, I don't mean to do this, but I have to do this. You just did a great job with this, and you do every month when you join us at the beginning of every month. And you brought up Desert Storm, Vietnam War ceasefire, Panama campaign ending, all of these things. And even growing up in a military family, I make the jest of, wow, that seemed like it was yesterday, but it was actually years ago.
Right.
I bet you the people that were in that war, it's very current. It's very current.
Very much so.
And it's great for us citizens to be reminded of that from time to time. While this is something for us that a moment in history or a blip on a timeline or something like that, it is so much more than that. And it's important for us to remember that. Regardless of what the war is and how you personally feel about it or any of those things, one of the greatest lessons my grandfather ever gave me was, it doesn't matter if you support or don't support the war, you can still support your soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yep.
There is no give on that one. That is 100% in on that.
Yep.
And this is a reminder of that to me.
One term I've always heard used, they walk among us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's Vietnam or Panama or Afghanistan or Iraq or any of those, they're behind you in the line at the box store. Vets are everywhere.
And we're fortunate for that.
Yes.
We really are. We're fortunate for you, Tom. Thank you so much for joining us. One more time, do you mind getting that number out there for the VFW if people have follow-up questions or want to know more?
No problem. 715-600-0401.
We'll talk to you soon, Tom, probably off air, certainly. But Tom's got me laughing all throughout the week and everything. But we'll certainly talk next month around this time. Thanks again, Tom.
No problem. We will be here. Good Lord willing, the creeks don't rise.
All right. Yeah.
Seth and I are going to go to our news break. We'll come back. We'll talk some entertainment and more on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show on WFHR.
Make a hole with a gun perpendicular to the name of this town in a desktop globe. Exit wound.
Don't talk enough about the pace of They Might Be Giants. It's great pace, great timing.
Their time, it's awesome.
It's a big integral part of the band too.
Mm-hmm.
That
it
timing
is.
And everything. Almost any song
they mess with time signatures a lot too, which I love. I like the idea of just messing with stuff.
Certainly, if not their most popular song, one of the most popular songs is Istanbul.
Yeah,
and most people know that one.
Mm-hmm.
That song is a failure without the timing.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
So precise. And if you want to treat anybody, if you know that song, especially you've known it as long as it's been out. Look up a live version of it.
Oh, God.
It'll blow you away.
I have to tell you, they did that during the encore at the show I was at this last year.
Oh, cool.
And they messed with that song. I mean, it ended up being John Linnell just making mouth sounds at one point.
Oh, that's funny.
It's hilarious.
Oh, okay. I think I saw like early versions
yes,
of it or something.
It's good. Oh,
that's
good.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
We got some entertainment news to get to, but real quick, do want to send a shout out to Beth Habhacker and the wonderful job she does every Monday with the kids. Kitchen's open. Thank you, Beth. We'll see you later this week. And of course, our good friend Tom joining us with our monthly veterans update. A real great way to kick off the week. And our first full week of 2025.
Yeah, we made it.
And looking at things, it is award season. That's part of the reason I bring this up. We are kicking off awards. January really kicks off award season.
Yep.
And this is all here and there. Awards are so,
subjective.
Yeah, it
really is a lot of that. So,
but every once in a while, something happens that I do think is noteworthy in awards. And the Golden Globes are noteworthy for a number of reasons. Some people do believe that this is the precursor to the Oscars.
Right.
Oftentimes, the person that wins the Golden, and I think there's even some stats to back this one up.
Mm. I'd be curious to see what exactly the one-to-one is on that.
Some percentage of people who win Best Actor in a Golden Globe win the Best Actor in the
Academy,
Oscars
and
stuff. So that can be noteworthy. And we'll get into some of the winners from last night in just a moment. But I do want to send a gigantic shout-out to Demi Moore, who won her first acting award yesterday.
That's her first?
Her
what?
First.
Really?
That's an insult. That is an insult to acting.
Oh my gosh.
That's just incredible to me.
Wow.
It's hard to believe, but at the Golden Globes last night, Demi Moore won her first award for acting, like ever. So she let the crowd know in an emotional speech that was pretty much the highlight of the night.
Wow.
Demi won Best Actress, and rightfully so, for her performance in The Substance, and noted that she's been acting for 45 years. She said that 30 years ago, a producer told her she was a popcorn actress, meaning that she could, quote, do movies that were successful and made a lot of money, but that wouldn't be acknowledged.
Okay.
She said she believed it and was corroded by her, and it has corroded her over time.
Oh, that's awful.
She had agents, she had directors that would reach out to her and say, hey, Demi, I think you'd be really good for this role. And her self-confidence was so low that, I couldn't. That's an art house movie. Or, I don't think I could do that or something like.
Man.
It's part of the reason why she goes and shaves her head for G.I. Jane. Mm-hmm. Why she does, she goes to the extremes she does in some later roles after that happens.
Yeah.
In part because she's a good actor, and that's what good actors do. Mm-hmm. Also, I think there's a little bit of overcompensating probably happening in her head, which I completely understand.
Yeah.
Demi said she was at a low point and was considering retirement when the script for The Substance hit her desk. Quote, the universe told me, you are not done.
Wow. How about that?
I think we could talk about actors and performers and you know, whether it's musicians, athletes, or any of these things, and not have to be so in the moment and hyperbole. Oh, this is the greatest ever. Oh, this is the greatest ever, or whatever. And even I do it sometimes, I know. But we all could do a little bit better of this.
It's true.
Demi Moore is, in our generation, going to be one of the more noteworthy actors.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to just at this point win an award, where I felt like she should have been nominated for G.I. Jane.
There's probably a couple other ones.
Showgirls.
I mean...
Not Showgirls,
but...
The other one she did with Burt Reynolds and everything.
Striptease. She could have got for Ghost. She could have done it... there's so many roles that I'm thinking back now, you know. She could have been nominated for so many of those, but... Wow, that's really interesting to hear that, like, just one offhanded comment, and it had such a profound effect on her career. Wow.
And she's not alone. There are so many actors from that era, actresses from that era. Kim Basinger, Daryl Hannah. I can name like 20 actresses from that era that never got a chance to do serious work.
Mm-mm.
And in part because of casting directors.
The gatekeepers, basically.
The gatekeepers.
Yes.
That I have to be nice to. I mean, nice. Don't want to say anything negative about casting directors here. Nobody's doing that. But they are the gatekeepers, and so often this happens in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nowadays, if you think of the top 20 actresses out there, I almost guarantee you every one of them has had multiple genres that they've touched
absolutely,
on.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson, Emma Stone.
Stone, yeah.
I mean, any of these actors have done, and it's in part because of this stuff, because of casting directors. Not only that, but guess something really wild that happened about 15, 20 years ago, everybody? Women started being in the casting sessions and helping with the casting process.
I'm shocked.
But it actually hasn't been that long that that's been going on. So that's much more prevalent, and that's changing this a lot.
That's good.
And congratulations to Demi Moore.
Absolutely.
I think
I'm still shocked by that, but that's great.
Big winners from the night of the Golden Globes. Best drama went to The Brutalist. Best musical comedy, Emily Perez. A lot of people excited about that movie. Female actor, Fernando Torres for I'm Still Here.
Okay.
Male actor went to Adrian Brody for The Brutalist. I'm very happy about that.
Adrian Brody's awesome.
I love that man. I love his work, and I love what he's done with his career so much.
Fascinating.
Female actor win, as we said, Demi Moore for The Substance. Male actor, Sebastian Stan for A Different Man. And that one a lot of people are excited about, and his performance in it a lot of people are.
I think that's a lot of, because people pretty much associate him with one role at this point. It's nice to see that they can see him stretch out a little bit.
Not many people have taken being an unknown and getting into the Marvel Universe and run with it like he has.
Yes.
Like, he has found, like, a lot of openings.
He really has. And apparently the ladies seem to like him. I'm told that he's a...
Best, I hear you. I don't know. But female supporting actor Zoe Saldana for Emily Perez. Happy for her, too. Another Marvel actor.
She's great.
Male supporting actor, the great Karen Culkin for A Real Pain. That movie looks pretty good. He looks great in it. Director Bradley Colbert for The Brutalist. Best cinematic and box office achievement, Wicked. Wait a minute. Is this a new category? I don't remember this one.
It's the Golden Globes. They have categories for a lot of things.
Cinematic and box office achievement. That we're doing that now. Okay. All right.
Making a billion dollars isn't enough. You have to get an award for it, too, I guess.
Yeah. That's not against Wicked. Nothing against Wicked. Do we really need that? Come on. Animated movie went to Flo, and original song Melmal from Emily Perez. On the TV side of things, best drama went to Shogun, best musical comedy Hacks, best female actor Anna Sawai from Shogun, and best male actor the great Hiroki Sanada from Shogun.
See, now I've heard a lot about Shogun when it came out last year. And then, you know, and it kind of ran its course. Man, I got to watch that. I hear just so many good things about that.
I watched the first episode. It blew me away. And I also realized I need time to watch this.
It's not a short thing. No, it's
this, and it's not something I can just put on in the background at midnight and while I'm doing grading or something.
You got to pay attention.
I got to be able to lock in on that one. But it was really impressive and beautiful. Like, it's incredible.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
When FX puts money and time into a show, man, did they do it right. There's at least like three or four shows over the last 20 years that I love that came from that
company. That's really cool, yeah.
A big shout out to Jean Smart for winning for Best Female Actress in Hacks. I love Jean Smart.
Jean Smart is so, so good.
Her second act has really been amazing.
Amazing. Beth has watched the show, and I just caught bits of it, but she is so good in that. Oh my gosh.
Best Male Actor, Jeremy Allen White for The Bear. I like him a lot, too. Mm-hmm. Congratulations from him. Best Male Actor in a Limited Series or TV Show, Colin Farrell for The Penguin.
Nice.
That's impressive.
Get some love. Good, good.
And best female actor in a limited series, anthology series, or whatever, it doesn't matter, Jodie Foster!
The name is right. He doesn't care what it is.
Doesn't matter. Jodie won. That's all I care about. Love me some Jodie Foster. She should have won for True Detective. Actually, really, I do mean it. Both her and Colin. The work that Colin Farrell did in The Penguin, you can make fun of me if you want, but it may be the best he's ever done.
Yeah.
And that's impressive to me.
Because he's had a good career. No shortage of talent there.
I can't say that about Jodie Foster, but what I can say is she showed me things in that I didn't know she had. She had levels and gears that I didn't know she could do. And that's with the amount of career she has had, I thought that was pretty noteworthy, too.
I'm sorry. With all its flaws, Contact still was my favorite movies.
So good.
She's so awesome in that.
I love it. She's so good at it. Yes, yeah. I got to just mention this one out of left field a little bit. But for any South Park fans out there, 2024 was a little bit weird because you only really had one special and the series has really not been what it's in, but they're still going. And Trey Parker's the main creator behind South Park has been making the rounds lately talking about the show and mentioning to people that the show is going to be back in 2025 in a lot of ways.
Okay.
Now they are going to be they have a deal with Paramount. So they're going to be doing some of that.
Oh, okay.
And they got some specials that have been coming out with that. They've been doing this for a couple of years now.
Right.
They have the series they're going to bring back. So they're going to even have episodes back, a whole new season.
Wow.
Which is really exciting, too. Now, Trey started talking about why they haven't been working as much on the show last year. And it's because they're working on a new movie.
Oh.
Which is pretty exciting to fans, especially if you were a fan of South Park, bigger, longer, you know, and cutting all that. But then he kind of just casually mentions who they're working with. Kendrick Lamar.
What?
Kendrick Lamar and his main producer and Trey Parker and Matt Stone for the past couple of years have been working on a movie. Like, this has been going on for a while.
Okay, just real quick. Is this a South Park movie or is this just a movie?
It's just a movie.
It's just
just a movie. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Crazy, man.
Man, when worlds collide, I get goosebumps.
I don't think I would have put them together.
No.
That would have been that's low on my bingo card there. Yeah.
Quote, Kendrick Lamar is very involved and Dave Free, his producer, his main producer, is very involved. Every day they are working on it, but that is what we are doing. And then we will do South Park beginning of next year. So they want to finish this project up with Kendrick and then work on the South Park stuff. But yeah, like Kendrick Lamar is... that's just wild to me, man. That's maybe the greatest, if not the greatest, rhymer in the game right now. No, he is the greatest rapper right now. Right now he is. I'm not saying of all time. I just, right now, by far and away. Kendrick Lamar isn't just the greatest rapper right now. He's the greatest he's in the top two spots.
Impressive.
and for him to go in the comedic direction and to work with these guys and stuff,
I'm curious to see what it is. I'm not a huge South Park fan, but I'm just curious about this. It looks interesting.
I'll be following that story. When we come back, Seth and I are going to have some fun getting into a good one here. We've got what trend died so fast that you can hardly call it a trend?
Not really a trend.
Not even a trend. I'm
fascinated by that.
Coming back on the morning show, WFHR.
You say yes, I say no. You say stop, and I say go, go, go.
Seth and James here with you, wrapping up the show. Hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks so much for kicking off your week with us. Mm-hmm. We're going to take it at the top of the hour. We'll get into our schedule and plenty more. Got some good stories of the day for you coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But trends. Oh, trends. They come and go.
They do.
They sure do. It seems like there are constantly new trends mm-hmm. that are supposedly happening everywhere and spreading like wildfire. And
I've never heard of, I tell you that
exactly
much.
Exactly. I was going to say, by the time we hear of them, they're not
they're over,
anymore.
Right, yeah.
But for some of those trends, they seem to disappear just as quickly as they arrive and are less than like wildfire, more like a match.
Okay.
Someone recently asked the internet, what trend died so fast that you can hardly call it a trend?
Okay.
So there's some fun ones here that were kind of interesting, and there are no particular order. But back in the 90s, when some kids were walking around with pacifiers in their mouths, I remember this.
Oh, my God, yes.
This was even in, like, music videos and in some
movies.
Things.
Is it a couple of movies, too? Yeah.
It felt like that was a thing for, like, a week.
Yep.
But it was coming. It came and went as fast
there's
as
there's a reason
did.
For that. It,
yeah.
was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird.
Man.
And there was nobody.
You remember it, though.
Nobody could pull that off.
No.
there were mustaches on everything. There were people, and there are people, I actually know of at least one person, that have tattoos on their fingers of a mustache so that they could put the mustache up to their face. Like, I kid you not, man. That's,
tattoos?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that was
at least you can hide it. At least you can hide it in your finger, yeah. You know. Yeah.
Gangnam style or whatever that.
Oh, Gangnam style.
Gangnam style. That's,
yes. Yeah. That very brief period that of everyone dancing badly. Yeah.
Yeah. Flash mobs. Speaking of dancing, sometimes badly.
They show up every now and then. Still.
Every once in a while,
they'll still come around.
It feels like those have kind of balanced out.
Yes.
Because I don't think those are bad.
No.
But like anything, too much of anything, and, you know, kind of it got old kind of quick.
It did.
Now it seems like it's at a good balance.
Mm-hmm.
Anything from Spencer's. Does anybody, now just real quick, if you remember the Spencer's store, every mall had to have a Spencer's Gifts.
Yes, they did.
And man, was that either the most fun store or the most boring store or weird store to you.
It was weird. You know, the further back you got in the store, the weirder the stuff got.
Yes.
And we're talking, you know, stuff. But that's where you got all your black light shirts.
And yes.
You know, and black lights. You could buy the black light there, too, actually.
And if you couldn't get them there, what would be right next to Spencer's, everybody?
Hot topic. Yeah.
Hot topic, Adam. Now, here in Rapids, I have to send a shout out to the tea shop. I think a lot of our listeners out there remember the tea shop. There was a time where that was like the one place you could go in here in Rapids for just anything different.
Just like yeah. Right.
Insert name, anything different you were looking for. Right. That was pretty much it. When you didn't have Amazon or any of these other things, that was it. backwards clothes like Crisscross did.
Oh, well, and they were the whole progenitors of that whole thing. I have to say, at the time, James, I have to make an admission here. Okay, I never wore my clothes backwards. I'll throw that out there. But I did have a T-shirt that had Bugs Bunny and.
So
Tasmanian Devil wearing their clothes backwards, just like Crisscross. I'm guessing you remember that.
Speaking of t-shirts,
yes.
I remember those. Do you know what? You know what it's like. Sometimes you hear something, and it just like makes you barrel laugh.
Oh,
uncontrollable laughter and stuff. And then there's those times where something's so funny, and you like the laughter's there, but you're just too
it just
busy.
Can't
like,
come
like,
out.
It's just so like that's hilarious, brother. I'm picturing young you in that shirt,
and I can't even remember. It was some sports team. That they were wearing. I can't even remember what the team was.
Oh, yeah. But they must have signed a deal with, like, Warner Brothers
yes,
or something.
Yes, it had to have been.
Everywhere.
They were everywhere.
Planking or T-bowing, when this was a thing. Oh. When I think this was very early days of TikTok and some of that stuff. Really, not just TikTok, but early days of us being able to, like, take those 30-second videos.
Yeah, right, right. Vines. Do you remember Vines?
Oh,
speaking
of
trends.
There's another one. That's not on here, but
no.
It should be.
Yeah.
Segways. And hoverboards. Yeah, that had a moment.
They all had a moment. Segways are still around. Actually, they've expanded now. They do electric bikes, too, now, I noticed. I saw that the other day.
This says here, the Flappy Bird game. I don't know what that is, but I do know Angry Birds. I don't know if maybe that's... I don't think they're talking about that. But
That totally missed me. That must have been really quick, because I don't remember that one either.
That's a real fast one. The 90s had some unexpected music trends. I like that. Just the 90s. Now, there was, though, some moments with certain things. Like, there was a moment where swing music was big.
Late 90s.
And, yeah, Brian Setzer Orchestra kind of helped with some of that.
And the movie Swingers.
Yes.
That helped. Yeah. Those two, yep.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a lot of that in the 90s.
Yes.
The 80s didn't have as much of it.
No.
Even though I think some people might think it did. Actually, the 80s were pretty consistent with trends.
I have to say the 90s, especially like the late 90s, I remember when I was in college. And there was like this string, okay? It was like first it hit like the third ska revival hit, you know, with like the Boston's and all that stuff. Oh, Real Big Fish, yes, you know, that stuff. Yeah. And then right after that, there was like Squirrel Nut Zippers had their big hit. And then right after that was the swing thing revival all of a sudden hit.
Yeah.
It was like three in a row, and it was really weird.
Hyper-colored shirts, one of our listeners typed in.
Oh, yes, my yes. God, yes.
One. That's a good one.
Yeah. The ones the heat ones that would change color on your body heat temperature. Oh, those were crazy. How do people wash those?
Nicely
I can't remember.
Done. Nicely done.
That was a good one. Yes.
NFTs. Yes. Yes.
Thank God those are over with. Oh.
You do know if anybody did buy one of those because they are trying so hard to sell it to you.
Yes, they are.
I actually know somebody who just every once in a while is bringing it up. Like, I got this NFT of LeBron doing this shot or something. Like, I don't know, man. No.
That's your own fault, man.
Yeah, that's on you. That's on you.
Why did you do that?
Hand it down to your kids or something. Don't try to hand it off to me. You know?
Right-click copy.
Those bracelets. This says Live Strong bracelets, but like they're talking like the cause bracelets.
Yes.
Everybody had a cause and everybody had a bracelet.
And there was that one person that had like eight on their arm. Yes.
And I really enjoyed the people that like you didn't care about a cause. Like you could give your whole life to it, but if you didn't have a bracelet, oh, how much did you didn't have a bracelet?
I know the Live Strong thing is still around, but that kind of crashed when Mr. Armstrong crashed. Yeah. So, yeah.
That one died pretty quick.
Yeah.
I will say this, and I will keep saying it, and you, if I'm wrong, history can go back and rub my face in this all they want, but I will add to this the crypto.
Oh, yeah. Crypto. I agree. 100%. That's the same thing as the NFTs.
There are a few things I feel more confident in life about, but I can see a hustle coming a mile away.
Yep.
And that is one of the bigger hustles I've ever seen in my life. That is, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But
the new con artists are tech people. I don't know if people noticed this. There's been a whole bunch in a row here about that. We had the metaverse, and then we had crypto, NFTs right after that. Now it's AI. Where have the con men gone? Apparently, they've gone into tech.
Yeah. Because I would add that. That's one of the ones I would add to this list. Mm-hmm. If you guys have anything you would add to the list, we'd love to hear it. 715-424-2600. We'll keep this going all week.
if you think of something, yes.
Because I know there's more out there.
Slap bands. Remember slap bands?
Man, yes.
They're still around, but there was a time where like, slap bands. And they hurt like heck, man. They were metal. Ouch.
You know what's weird? What that made me think of too is the stomp bands, like actual band music bands. Yes. Where for a little while there was at least like 90 of those bands where you had to have a guy who was stomping in the band. Like there was somebody in the band that stomped.
Clapping,
That goes, and that wasn't that long ago.
No,
that was
it wasn't
big for a while. No, there. I'm trying to think of what current trends are going on right now, but I'm not hip enough. I'm not cool enough to know. But if
they're all on social media, and if you're not on social media a lot. You don't even, I miss everything now.
And there's the other part of this too, where is that the only way that trends are going to exist now? Not only on social media, but I mean in quick.
Yep.
Like nothing's going to last very long anymore.
It seems like the shelf life has gotten really quick,
The 24-hour news cycle has really done this to so much.
Kills
the,
things real quick,
Of mediums in general.
Yeah.
Like even that don't have anything to do with news.
Exactly.
Sports has done this, where it's got to have breaking news every five. Like, man, the ESPN app drives me nuts. Because every other one is actually breaking news. Like, oh, that's very
so you can't turn it off, right? Yeah.
But the other ones are like a hangnail for your favorite pitcher. Like, well, no, what? That's not breaking news. That's not. Maybe that's a trend that hopefully will fade away. That everything is breaking news. Not everything is breaking news.
Right. Although, unfortunately, with sports, it's only going to get worse because of betting.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse before it gets better. No. But anyway, that's a whole can of worms we don't need to get into right now.
It's true, though. It's true. As we're getting close to wrapping up the show, do want to get into our schedule a little bit here. And boy, we got a good one for you. Join us today for Midday Magazine. We don't get to do this very often. We are kicking off the week with our friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sheriff Sean Becker in with us.
All right. Whole
hour, Sean.
Start the month off with them. Nice.
One of these days, him and I are going to maybe do a sing and dance routine or something in that hour. But for now, we've got more important things to
talk to him about that first.
Before. Yeah. I do want to talk new jail with him and plenty more. We'll be talking about with Sheriff Sean Becker today from 4 to 5. We'll also have, of course, our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media in. If you don't get to catch the podcast or anything like that, encourage you to go to YouTube, subscribe to their page, and keep up to date on all the great videos that they're doing over there.
Yes.
And it's a ball night.
Yep.
We got Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Rutgers, that classic Big Ten matchup. So weird.
That joke.
It's going to be a good one. And the Badgers are rolling right now.
Right.
It's been fun, men and women's team.
Yes, they've been doing quite well. That means no playmakers tonight, though. So, yeah.
We will not be here talking sports. We will have sports for you. Mm-hmm. So be sure to check that out tonight.
It's better. Listen, us drone on.
Yeah. And we'll be talking about it on Wednesday and Friday. We will have playmakers here for you. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to mention at least one or two good stories of the day that I had here. A 17-year-old in California named Sophia Park just became the youngest person to pass the state's bar exam.
Whoa!
She got her law degree this year after enrolling at the age of 13.
Oh, jeez.
She also earned some serious bragging rights because the record used to belong to her brother, Peter.
Oh, wow.
He passed the bar a year ago at 17 years and 11 months. She passed it at 17 years and 8 months.
I feel so bad for their family or their parents. Can you imagine the dinner table?
Absolutely bad.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely. Like this is back and forth all throughout the holidays.
Just make it stop. Yeah.
A woman in New York named Sandy Flash had an emotional meeting with a little boy she saved by donating part of her liver. Her husband got a new liver in 2022, and it inspired her to donate hers. The one-year-old boy's name is Sonny, and he's doing great.
Oh, great story. Love it.
Pretty cool.
Nice.
And a guy in Georgia named Dylan Betts was driving home from work last month when he saw a house on fire, kicked in the front door, and got the owner out. A reporter asked him why he risked his life for a complete stranger, and his answer was, why wouldn't he?
That's great. That's a great answer.
That's it there, man, because that is a great line. Mm-hmm. Great show today, brother.
Nice work. It was fun. A lot of fun.
Again, a big shout-out to Beth and to Tom and to our listeners who called in. We greatly appreciate that. Beth will be kicking off our show tomorrow with us.
Yeah,
looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. Seth will be in a little bit later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.